This past summer, I had the privilege of working in Ghana, West Africa, on a butterfly diversity project. The goals of the project were to determine what forest butterflies were venturing out of the forest in what I'm calling matrix habitat, which surrounds the forest. Those of you who are not familiar with Ghana, Ghana is located in western West Africa. Interestingly, Ghana is located on the eastern margin of one of the two forest zones in Africa. Historically, the southwestern region of Ghana was predominantly forest, although in contemporary times, these forested areas have been reduced to the black areas you see on this left diagram. And also, Ghana is divided into four vegetation zones, including the wet evergreen forest, the moist evergreen forest, the moist semi-deciduous forest, and savanna. Of particular interest is the Bobiri Forest Reserve, which is located here. And this, if you look to the right side of the on this diagram, this is the location of the forest in relation to Kumasi, one of the major cities in Ghana. This is a typical picture that one would see if they were walking along the edge of the forest. To the left are farms from village farmers, and to the right are, of course, the forest. And there's a very stark difference between the forest habitat and what I'm considering the matrix habitat that's outside of the forest. In terms of experimental design, five transects were utilized with three traps for each transect. There was a trap at the edge, trap at 12 meters from the edge, and a trap 50 meters from the edge. For convenience sake, I'm referring to the traps at the edge as edge habitat, the traps that at 12 meters at intermediate as intermediate habitat, and the traps at 50 meters as savanna habitat. In terms of data collection, fruit baited traps were utilized and they were baited and collected daily for over a 5-week period for a total number of 14 trap days. This is the experimental layout, and I also want to draw your attention to the stark differences between the forested areas and what I'm calling the matrix areas here. This is a typical trap that for one of the intermediate habitats. This trap is hung on a steel rebar rod, because in the matrix around the forest, there are not very many trees. And for our edge traps, we were able to hang our traps from trees. In this particular slide, I'm mentioning that there are approximately 230 species of butterflies that come to fruit-baited traps. Generally, butterflies come to the traps, to the bait near the bottom, and as they go to leave, they fly upwards and become trapped. For our particular study, old bananas and palm wine juice were utilized as bait. In terms of summarizing the data, there were over 1,300 specimens collected, representing over 81 species. And from the three habitats sampled, the edge, intermediate, and savanna, there were almost an equal number of samples per habitat. And the species richness for the edge was highest in this case. And I've included some data from a previous study with Janice, and from this, although there were a higher number of individuals collected, this particular index, which measures overall diversity, indicates that the edge habitat is still higher in diversity compared to forest habitat. This particular diagram is an ordination in which taking into account not only species richness, but species evenness for the different traps, and plotting them such that the more related traps, such as the intermediate and savanna traps, are lumped together because they're related by those characters, and the edge traps are also related by those characters. But there's one outlier here which can be explained by the fact that for several trap days, this trap produced zero butterflies. In this diagram, species with at least five individuals are assessed for the percent habitat use for that species. To the very left, we have a group of species that I'm calling forest species, and there are five species that were found exclusively in the forest and several others that were found predominantly in the forest. On the right side of the graph, we have a group of what I'm calling savanna species, and there are several of them found exclusively in savanna, in the matrix habitat, and there are also several species that were found sometimes at the edge. If you look at this particular area here, where I've drawn a line delineating the forest species and this middle group, there's a very clear and marked difference between the abundances here and the abundances here, indicating a very good cutoff between them. Although in this particular area for the savanna species, this is more of an arbitrary placement for this line, because as you can see, they are more gradual. Therefore, this line could be moved left or right several species. In this particular graph, I've taken all of the species and I've replaced their species, their taxonomic names with their habitats. And what one would think is you'd get the exact same graph as the previous graph. However, there are several species here that do not seem to fit this pattern. One would think that there would be several wet forest species that would be that would occur mostly at edge habitat, although these species never were found at the edge. And likewise, most of these species are indicated by the red arrows, which were Craxi species. And reasons to explain this deal with the fact that Craxi's butterflies are very large and robust, and they're very strong flyers. Also, in a previous study using four paired traps, and one in the canopy and one at the ground level, it was shown that only Craxi's were only found at the canopy level. And reasons for the possibilities for why these Craxi's were not found at the edge habitat was because once the Craxi's reach edge habitat, they're up at the very tops of the trees, and once they hit savanna habitat, they're hitting the lower scrub. And from this, we can conclude that there were 38% of the forest species stayed in forest habitat. And one of the first things to having dispersal of species is the fact that they leave their habitat. So for example, these butterflies weren't even willing to leave the forest. And with that, they're vulnerable to extinctions due to gene flow and such. And there are data to support this idea in the fact that not many are found in small forest fragments, as in from Janus. And 62% of these species of forest species do leave forest. And one idea is whether or not these species actually do cross the matrix in terms of dispersal. And one could probably argue this with the Craxi species, because they are, as I said, large-bodied and very good flyers. And another problem could be, are these the correct habitat associations? For example, there are quite a few forest butterflies that are leaving the forest. Well, first of all, it needs to be determined whether or not these forest butterflies are leaving much farther out, for example, putting traps 1,000 meters out into the matrix areas. With that being said, I'd like to thank the National Science Foundation and the Southeastern Louisiana University STAR Grant for undergraduate research. With that, I'll take any questions. For many of these species, host plants are not known. Torben Larsen has, in his book, The West African Butterflies, has lots of data on such. We are accumulating data on some host plants, and that will be added in previous, in more recent publications, but that certainly would affect distributions. Yes?
Do you think that
I'm sorry. You said the.
The overall physical environment could have affected the efficiency of your traps, given something like wind currents that could have changed your data.
Well, it's very possible. There were certain portions of time where some traps didn't produce as many butterflies as such, but the habitat is generally pretty homogeneous. So it's in terms of physiological temperatures and whatnot.